All right, welcome back. 239-1310, 239-1310. It's Afternoons with Amos. Yesterday you met the Democratic candidate for Superintendent of Public Instruction, Glenda Ritz. The final part of the Democratic statewide ticket is Kay Fleming. She's an attorney, because you have to be an attorney to be Attorney General of the great state of Indiana. She is the Democratic candidate for Attorney General, and she joins me live. Kay, welcome.
Thank you, Amos.
So why are you running?
I am running because there's not balance in our state. All state government right now is Republican, and I feel that there needs to be balance in state government, as there needs to be balance in everything.
What would you do as Attorney General differently than what's being done now?
Would try to make the office more efficient. I think that our children need more attention. We have children who are abused and neglected who are in the DCS system, and they continue to be abused and neglected. There has been, to my knowledge, no involvement of the Attorney General in that process, and I think that we need that involvement.
Would that be the Attorney General taking a more activist role if there are complaints? Does it mean the Attorney General's office should be where the ombudsman or an ombudsman for children?
Well, I think the Attorney General needs to look and see what can be done to make the system more efficient. Mm-hmm. The DCS system is a very large system. I've been talking to a lot of caseworkers to gather more information about it to determine how the Attorney General could be involved and make it an efficient program and work with the DCS system and FSSA to make sure our children are protected.
A lot of what the Attorney General does in this state is consumer protection. What would Attorney General Kay Fleming do to improve what the Attorney General does in terms of standing up for who's your consumers and keep folks from getting ripped off, ripped out, and what have you?
Well, one of the things that I have been approached about by many people is that the do not call list needs to be improved. They said once they're on it, they continue to get calls. They call the Attorney General. They get no response. They get no assistance. The other thing that people have talked to me about, because I've been trying to listen and ask questions of people, what they want to see, what they feel the needs are, they feel that there needs to be a do not text list, because people have gone from calling to texting because so many people have gone to the cell phone. Mortgage fraud continues to be an area of concern, and one of the things we're doing since I realized I came to this campaign late, but we're looking at what other states do and what other states do well to incorporate those ideas into the Attorney General's office in Indiana. There are a lot of things the Attorney General does, but I just think the office could be run more efficiently.
Is this something where there's too many people in the office now in terms of staff, or maybe, you know, a bunch of people making too much money and not enough worker bees making a decent wage that can make the office more efficient?
Well, having been a state employee, I'm not going to say that they make too much money.
Mm-hmm.
Our attorneys, on average, in my opinion, in the state, are underpaid.
Mm-hmm.
Most of our attorneys, with the starting wage that you get at the state, I'm not sure that they can pay back their student loans that they have from law school at this point.
Right.
So the starting wage for attorneys is low. So I'm never going to say that the attorneys are not making too much money, I should say. But again, it's something that I want to take a look at, and I am researching at this point in time to determine what changes could be made to make the office more efficient.
We're talking with Kay Fleming. She's the Democratic candidate for Attorney General. 239-1310. 239-1310 gets you in touch with the conversation, or send me an email at praiseindy.com, or send me a text message at 85620, keyword Amos, 85620, keyword Amos. We know you're an attorney, but what kind of background and experience does Kay Fleming bring to this race? Would Kay Fleming bring as the first female attorney general since the 90s?
Well, my background is that before I went to law school, I was a probation officer for about 5 years, and it was in a small county, so I worked with not only felons, misdemeanors, but also children, was part of the Children in Needs Network.
Mm-hmm.
For Warwick County, which is down south near Evansville. So I spent a lot of time looking at working within the criminal justice system from that perspective. While I was in law school, I worked at the Prosecuting Attorney's Council and was familiar with legal issues and criminal issues through that. After I graduated from law school, I clerked for a federal judge in Evansville, Gene Brooks. He's since deceased. And one of the things that was great about that experience is we were in the courtroom writing the motion, seeing the trial. So I was involved in a lot of criminal trials with that. I then clerked for a bankruptcy judge. Mm-hmm. He had was just appointed to the bench at that point in time. So I learned some about the bankruptcy system. Following that, I was the first attorney for the Indiana Gaming Commission that regulates riverboats and set up the rules, drafted most of the rules that are still used to regulate riverboats. They've obviously been amended to take into account the changing times.
Right.
But I was responsible for setting up that regulatory framework. I was then at Ice Miller for 11 years and 2 years ago started my own firm. So I am the majority owner of Fleming Stage, as well as the president. So I've had a lot of varied backgrounds, which I feel like gives me that experience needed to run the office.
One of the things the Attorney General's office deals with is identity theft, and that is a growing crime, particularly when it can affect someone's not just credit, but it can affect their background check to get employment. Is that an area that maybe if you're Attorney General, you would focus maybe more resources on?
Yes, I think that's very critical. And having gone through an issue where my purse was stolen and I was able to stop it and not be a victim of that, but all of the steps you had to go through and all of the money that was lost, not to me, but mm-hmm. to the banks, et cetera, it was incredible to me what happened and how much money was involved when I reported my credit cards that same afternoon, but how much money and how many checks they were able to write subsequent to my reporting it. So, yes, I think that that is an area that needs more attention.
239-1310, 239-1310. Afternoon's names. Let me go to the phones. And Terry, hi there.
Yeah, how you doing, Ames?
I'm fine.
Yeah, I was wanting to ask that attorney. She said them attorneys don't make much money. But what I was going to say, why don't they take some of these cases and let the guy win and get some money? If a person ain't a high class person, they won't even take their cases. They won't take a chance on winning some money.
Well, that's an interesting point. What can an attorney general do to encourage the bar to do more pro bono work? You know, if there's any complaint, at least from this audience, is, you know, we'll get calls from people who have, you know, a legitimate, maybe a good legal case, but they don't have the dollars to do it, but they're not, particularly on the civil side, you know, so there's not a lot of pro bono, or if there is, nobody knows about it, so there's a disconnect. What can the bully pulpit of the attorney general do about these kinds of things?
Well, I think it can encourage the bar, the office can encourage the bar, as you said, to be involved and to look at what resources are available through Legal Aid Society mm-hmm. and those types of resources. And just to clarify, when I said that the attorneys don't make much money, those are the attorneys working for the state.
Right.
So I want to understand that I'm not saying all attorneys are underpaid. But I do think that there are things that the attorney general can do to encourage that, to promote it. I know that the attorney general runs the Food for Hunger, and mm-hmm. so you could possibly do a similar program with getting people and recruiting people to provide pro bono services.
Back to the phones and anonymous at 239-1310. Hi there.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I have a question. I noticed when you call into the attorney general's office, if you have a complaint or if you're wondering about a company that you're inquiring about and you're not too sure about, why is it that you have to put something in writing before they can respond to you and let you know about that company? And will that continue if she is put into that position?
So you advocate being able to tell the information over the phone?
Well, I figure if you're calling and you're just asking about a business, if they give a rating on if they say, okay, there's a complaint in for this company.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a good review on this company, and I would not, you know, advise you to deal with this company. That's something that I figure you have to go put it in writing, and then you have to wait and see, you know, what's if there is a complaint in on a certain company.
So you're basically asking the question that if you may not have a specific complaint against a particular company, but you want to know whether that particular company has any complaints outstanding.
Exactly, because you can call the BBB,
yeah.
You know, and they may not have a complaint on that company, but you can call the Attorney General's office and find out if someone did make a complaint through them and not the BBB. So
I
don't know if they coincide together.
That is an interesting situation, Kay Fleming. I'm not sure, you know, what the law says once a person files a complaint against a business, whether that complaint automatically or that a complaint was registered would be public record. Maybe if the complaint was settled and that business was found to have violated something and the Attorney General had to take some action, that's public record and it ought to be available to a consumer to find that out.
Well, it would be a case-by-case basis, mm-hmm. I would think, and I always hate to say the law says this without having the opportunity to look back, because there are a lot of laws on the books. So mm-hmm. to say that I'm an expert and can remember all of them, I would never do that. But most documents that are filed with the state are public record, mm-hmm. and there would be a database of what is public. There are instances and exceptions to the public record rule that might prevent that information or certain pieces of information from being divulged. But if a complaint has been filed, then yes, it should be a matter of public record, and that should be readily available.
All right, great question, Anonymous. I appreciate it. 239-1310, 239-1310. We're talking with Kay Fleming. She's the Democratic candidate for Attorney General. The fact that on the statewide ticket, there's you running for Attorney General, there's Glenda Ritz running for Superintendent of Public Instruction, there's Vi Simpson running for Lieutenant Governor, and then the guy with the mustache, John Gregg, running for governor. That's out of the four positions, three women. How significant is that? And is that something that could appeal to Hoosier women voters?
It could appeal to Hoosier women voters, but I think more significantly is that we all have the qualifications to hold the office that we're seeking. So more than being women, I think it should be that we're qualified to hold the office.
One of the things that the Attorney General's office does is victims assistance, providing, as I'm reading on the website, services and assistance to victims of crime. But a lot of times you will hear from victims of crime who, A, don't know that these programs exist. They're out here. I mean, yesterday, you know, I had the sad responsibility of talking to the parents of those two young men that were killed at 38th in Georgetown the other day. And you sometimes wonder, you know, do they even know what's available in victims assistance? If you were the Attorney General, how do we more publicize some of these programs that are already there? They're on the books, they're funded, and they may not be they're not being used.
I think it's a matter of outreach to help with that coordination between the prosecutor's offices in all 92 counties and the Attorney General, coordination with law enforcement, so that we can get that information available to the victims of crime or the families of victims of crime. That's one thing when I was a probation officer that I worked with the families a lot, and I understand how important that can be. And it would be a matter of trying to get that information out there and using whatever resources it can that are necessary or available to work with and make sure that the information is distributed.
Let me go to Tony right quick at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hey, I just have a couple of questions. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
My thing is, do you work closely with the mayor, or will you work closely with the mayor?
On what particular type of issue?
On certain issues, such as things that, you know, pertaining to, you know, the mayor's business, or prices or sort of things of that nature?
In terms of like consumer protection?
Yes.
That's a great question. I know in your opponent has kind of been outspoken and put out a press release the past week talking about Indiana had the seventh highest gas prices in the country. And then I noticed this morning, mysteriously, those prices dropped 40 cents. Wonder why. Is that something where attorney generals can work with mayors on things? Are there some joint consumer protections? Or if a mayor says, you know, I got this consumer, you know, somebody, or are there collaborations that could occur?
I think that there are collaborations that could occur, and I would want to make sure those collaborations occurred if elected. There are some price gouging statutes that provide
relief?
The words, yeah. Yes, the, mm-hmm. some they provide authority to the attorney general to look at price gouging, and it is suspect that we've had a drop in crude oil prices, but yet in the Indianapolis area, prices continued to rise. And I had to be out of state recently, and the prices there were about 60 cents per gallon cheaper than they were when I came back to Indianapolis. So you do wonder why those types of things happen. But yes, I do want, if elected, to make sure that there is collaboration. And one of the areas I would look to work with is the Indiana Association of Cities and Towns to see what collaborative efforts there could be between the Office of the Attorney General and the various cities and towns and counties.
Let me go to Phyllis at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine.
My question is, my daughter was killed a couple of years ago by a drunk driver, and of course, he kind of got off of it. He got maybe 30 days, 39 days or something in jail because the prosecutor said that there was not enough evidence to convict him, but his car crashed up, and my daughter's dead, but he kind of got like a DUI, and I'm very frustrated about that, but, you know, the Lord knows, and he'll take care of that. But my question is, I went to the Victim Assistance Fund because we paid for that funeral, and my daughter's funeral bill, I mean, my daughter's medical bills and everything exceeded, what, $15,000, and I think Medicaid, or I get it mixed up, it's Medicaid or something, paid $24,000 for her bill. And they told me, because we went over $15,000, that they could not even assist us and give us any of our money back. When we were starting to process claim, and it took about 2 years to get that going, when I talked to one of the representatives, she said, well, do you have a marker yet for my daughter, a gravestone? And I said, no. She said, well, don't incur a bill yet. Let us handle this for you and see what we could do. And when I got back, they gave me a big fat no. And my husband and I and friends and relatives, we all paid for my daughter's funeral.
And this was,
that's true. And she was violently killed.
And you are working through the people at the Indiana Criminal Justice Institute, ICJI?
Yes, sir.
And they would not provide any funds?
Nothing. They said because her expenses went over $15,000.
Well, there's a maximum award of $15,000. I'm looking at their website now.
Okay.
So that, to me, unfortunately, I live in Indiana. So it means to me, my Indiana common sense says they cannot give $15,001. They could give $14,990.
I would just like my daughter's funeral expenses paid, and we would be able to get a marker. She has left. Now he's six. He was four at the time, a four-year-old son. And we
do you
get
have
nothing.
When they denied you? Did they deny you in writing?
Yes, they did.
Did you ever appeal their decision?
No, because they said.
Oh no! Everybody's got a boss.
Okay.
All right. Did you ever follow up with the head of the Indiana Criminal Justice Institute?
No, let me tell you why. Because they said that is Indiana law, and I would like for something to change because that's crazy.
First of all, everybody's got a boss. And before he leaves and goes to Purdue, I'd bring that in writing to the attention of the governor. The governor appoints the people on the Criminal Justice Commission. That's the first thing. Yeah. And I don't think the intention of the law is to, you know, is to pay some up to $15,000.
Yeah, well, they said we exceeded with the bill.
Oh, no, then they should have paid up to $15,000 and left well enough alone.
Yeah, they said Medicaid. I get it mixed up. Medicaid.
Yeah, that's right.
Paid for my daughter's, you know, the ambulance ride and all that stuff. So
how many years ago was this?
2 years ago. That was Ebony Dotson. She was killed up on 465.
Here's what I'd like you to do, because I think Kay Fleming would like some more, you know, information about that, because as she's going around learning from Hoosiers, I want you to hold on, if you would be so kind as to give Chris off the air your name and a number where you can be reached during the day, and Ms. Fleming or someone from her campaign will get back to you, okay?
Thank you so much.
And may I just apologize and say how sorry I am to hear about the loss of your daughter.
Thank you. It's been rough.
I can only imagine.
Helping us, and thank you for your sympathy. Thank you.
Appreciate that. But that also goes back, Kay Fleming, about an attorney general that's sensitive and wouldn't want agencies that are, you know, getting nitpicky with victims. If the expenses were 16, you only pay up to 15. You only pay up to 15.
15 helps.
Yeah. Let me go to Barbara, be our last caller, with Kay Fleming, Democratic candidate for attorney general. Oh! She missed out. Well, maybe she should call back. Kay Fleming, if people want more information, our standard closing question, want more information about your campaign, how do they get a hold of you?
They can contact Monica Brazzi at 317-294-6737.
294-6737.
Yes.
That's temporary, because you're still trying to get one of those websites.
We are setting up a website. We hope to have it up and running next week.
Mm-hmm.
And there will be more information, and my information is also available on the website.
And we got Barbara back. Barbara, we're sorry about that. Hi, Barbara.
Hi, Amos. Hi, Ms. Fleming. I think I pronounced it right. Anyway, I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
I had an accident back in 08. I just found out about this about 3 weeks ago. Insurance company pulled it up. Anyway, the question is, who would I contact, or do I need to contact the attorney general with an insurance company that they let the report and everything was made. They even talked to the police on site and everything. And behind my back, this is what I'm going to say, because I had to make a trip to Fort Wayne.
Yeah.
I was told that the lady went back, and the police officers changed the police report. So
the police officer changed the police report?
Yes. This is what the insurance company told me.
Are they saying that orally, or they put that in writing?
Obviously, it's in writing, because I ended up paying my deductible and everything to get my car fixed. It was a lease.
If your insurance company is saying in writing that they believe a police officer changed a report, I'd report that to the internal affairs. Is this IMPD?
Yes.
I would report that to internal affairs, or the professional standards division of the police department.
Well, a police officer, an attorney did tell me that if that happened, that was fraud.
Yeah, that attorney told you, I think, right.
Okay, and I just didn't know who I should contact, because if insurance companies are doing that, then I don't think that should be allowed to do, and I don't think police officers should be changing police reports because you have sympathy on the opposite person, and they come back to you. I didn't know that was legal.
That may be, if you think the insurance company colluded with somebody, that's regular old-fashioned fraud. If you think the police or policeman is in cahoots, that could violate some federal laws. You might want to contact the FBI, provide them with information, the Attorney General's Consumer Protection Division. But let me let Kay Fleming, she's learning a lot about the law here in Indiana today.
Yes, and the crazy thing about it was, when the insurance company pulled it up, I was trying to see if I could find some cheaper insurance company by my age.
Right.
And when they pulled it up, and I was told by my insurance company that oh, don't worry about it. It's, nothing's going to go on your record or anything, none of this.
It's on your record.
Well, I went to the city county building to try to locate the report,
mm-hmm.
and they couldn't find it.
And this was a report from 2 years ago.
In 08. It happened in 08.
Go to, on the police report, go to the state police. They are the ones who should have it. Indiana
car accident?
Yes, ma'am. Indiana State Police keeps all those records of accidents.
Oh.
And there's also a Department of Insurance that has oversight over insurance companies.
The Indiana Department of Insurance, but the state police should have that accident report.
Indiana Department of
Insurance with your concerns about the insurance company, and then I would call the Indianapolis office of the Indiana State Police. They have that's where the record of the accident is.
Okay, and then I contact, you said the FBI.
You might have to, if you think there's police wrongdoing.
Oh yeah, it has to be in order for them to be able to pull it up. I left the insurance company because they did some other crazy stuff to me.
Well, if they did crazy stuff, go to the Consumer Protection Division of the Attorney General to file a complaint. I appreciate it. Good luck to you, Barbara. Kay Fleming is the Democratic candidate for Attorney General of Indiana. And obviously, Hoosiers got a whole lot of consumer protection and issues that need to be dealt with. Good luck to you. We'll see you again.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.